Good morning. My name is Margarita Pierce, and I am the Executive Administrator for the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and will become part of the procurement record. Today's date is July 31st, 2020, and the time is 9:01. The subject of today's meeting is the TPA Request for Proposals, RFP 2020-01, for General Planning Consultant Services. Before we begin, I would like the selection committee members to introduce themselves by stating your name, title, and affiliation with the TPA. So on the top of my list is Melissa. So if you want to start, and then we'll go Melissa, Wen, Valerie, and Andrew.
Good morning. I'm Melissa Booth. I'm the public relations manager and also serve as the Title VI and ADA officer for the Palm Beach TPA.
Hi, good morning. My name is Wen Dang. I'm the city traffic engineer for the city of West Palm Beach, and we are part of the TPA. I'm also chair person for the Palm Beach TAC.
Am I next?
Yes, go ahead, Valerie.
Okay. Hi, I'm Valerie Nielsen. I'm the deputy director of multimodal development at the TPA and oversee bike, ped, transit, Complete Streets efforts, been with the TPA for 5.5 years.
I'm Andrew Euler. I'm Deputy Director of Program Development at the TPA, and I've been here a little over 3 years.
I should have mentioned I've been here almost 10.
Okay. The selection committee will rank the responsive proposals for RFP 2020-01 to recommend the two highest ranked proposals to the TPA Governing Board to award contracts. The selection committee also may determine that oral presentations are necessary to determine a final ranking. The oral presentations would occur on August 14th, 2020. The selection committee may also recommend that the TPA reject all proposals. The notice of intent to award will be published on August 17th, 2020, with a final award occurring at the TPA Governing Board meeting on September 17th, 2020. Note that today's meeting is a publicly noticed meeting and members of the public are permitted to speak during the selection, are permitted to speak before the selection committee begins discussion. Section 286.0114 Florida statutes requires members of the public, including proposals, be given a reasonable opportunity to be heard, during a selection committee meeting. Therefore, we are providing time now for public comments. Each person who wishes to speak will be given 2 minutes to do so. Committee members should not make inquiries or answer questions from proposers during public comment in order to avoid public comment turning into oral presentations. Any party wishing to make a public comment will use the raise hand function in Zoom to be recognized. Once called upon, please state your name for the record and keep in mind the previous instructions as they may apply to your comment. Is there anyone who would like to make a comment regarding RFP 2020-01? I'm just giving everybody a moment in case they need to find the raise hand function. Okay, it doesn't look like we have any public comments, so we're going to move forward. The public comment period is now closed, so we're going to go through the instructions for the selection committee. Selection committee members, today you will discuss the responsive proposals to RFP 2020-01, then score each proposal using the criteria listed on the selection committee score and ranking sheet that was provided to you. The selection committee cannot change the evaluation criteria and or the maximum available points assigned to each criterion. Note that personal biases and differences in style shall not play a part in this process. After the discussion of the proposals based on a criterion, please fill out your selection committee score and ranking sheet for the criterion as follows without further discussion. A, record the scores for each proposal on a scale between 0 and the maximum for the criterion in the section reviewer scores for each proposal. B, after scoring the proposals for all criteria, personally validate the calculated total scores and rank the proposals in the spaces below the calculated total points. record the rankings beginning with 1 given to the proposal with the highest total points and a 6 given to the proposal with the fewest points. If 2 proposals have equal scores, rank them with the same value. Then please include a concise narrative to support the points assigned to each proposal. Upon completion, please date and digitally sign the document in the spaces provided and save on your computer. Click the submit button. This will open an email in Outlook and attach your signed selection committee score and ranking sheet for RFP 2020-01. The email will be pre-populated to send to finance@palmbeachtpa.org. Then you will send the email. Following, I will compile the rankings from the selection committee's score and ranking sheets and display the final aggregated rankings of the selection committee to view. In the event of a tie, the executive director will score the proposals to determine the final ranking. At the conclusion of the ranking process, the committee will declare a final ranking and recommend the 2 highest ranked proposals as its finalists and make its recommendation for award of the contract, or the committee may decide that oral presentations are necessary to clarify the consultant's proposals to make a final ranking and recommendation for the award of contracts. The selection committee may select all proposals or create a short list of proposals to invite for oral presentations. The short list shall be posted by 4 p.m. on August 3, 2020. Or the committee may also recommend that the TPA reject all submitted proposals. Do you have any questions? I know it's a lot to take in.
Margie, the form that you were mentioning there that we sign electronically, have we already got that form, or you're saying it will be sent to us?
Was already provided via email.
And is that going to be completed and signed during the meeting or after each proposal is reviewed?
Yes. So you're going to, as you're reviewing the proposals, you're going to complete the form. And then once you've finished reviewing them, then you're going to submit it. Because what you're doing is going through each of them to give your note scoring, and then you're submitting it at the very end of the review.
And that was sent by email? Let me find
Yes, ma'am, from finance@palmbeachtpa.org.
Okay.
Do you have that form?
Yes, okay. The selection committee scoring and ranking sheet, yes.
Correct. Okay. So I'm going to move forward if everyone's good. Does any committee member have any conflict of interest relative to any of the respondents that they would like to declare?
I have worked with at least one of the public involvement subs.
Are we declaring who we used to work for?
I don't believe that's necessary. Let me just read through something. Hold on. I'm sorry, I'm like having a coughing attack. It's a bad day for allergies. And that's not necessary. Conflicts are current financial connections with proposers. So if none of you have that conflict, then we can move forward.
I have none. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So you guys can go ahead and start your discussion of the proposers. And then I'm available if you have any questions. And then I'll have more remarks once we get to the closing of the proposers, but I'll be muted as you discuss.
Okay. Does it matter who goes first, or do we want to kind of rotate?
Sure. And did you guys want to go in order of sort of the subject matter, or do you want to go proposal by proposal?
I would prefer proposal by proposal, because that's my notes are organized that way, if we can.
Okay. So I think we can probably go in order of the proposals then. So the first one would be CGA.
Okay. Do you want to take a lead on that, Andrew? And then I'll follow.
Sure. I guess I can give my overall impressions first. You know, this, the first section that I was focused on was the technical proposal. And so each submittal, there was required to submit a technical proposal of 10 pages in length, and that made up the bulk of the scoring. So I focused a lot of my primary time on that at the beginning. And when it came to the CGA one, there was a lot of dense information in the technical proposal, a lot of language, but a lot of it seemed to be just referencing TPA process already. It was sort of like known information, and I didn't get a lot of linking back to their experience or providing some of the types of deliverables that they would provide for us. So I was left a little lacking in that. I did see a little bit more of that when we got down to experience and qualifications, you know, when they submitted their forms, the required forms. But up front, I didn't see a lot of that.
Okay. If you guys don't mind, may I?
Yeah, please.
I look at this as comprehensive, just as you said, Andrew, reading through the proposal and then coming back to it and narrowing down to each section. So I do like the team. I think the team itself hit the pillars that the TPA may need, from public outreach, traffic engineering, urban planning, multimedia, and GIS. When I looked into the org chart itself, I think it could be elaborate a little further, because there are sub-consultants also, and sub-consultants on the team that could be identified, which area that each one of their sub is really focused on. So I guess from that aspect, I needed a little more clarity when I looked at the proposal. I appreciate the detail, especially during in the proposal of visualization, like for different messaging campaign. They go into the details of different products like microsites for clients, and I do think that that's very well represented, and also different marketing materials. Where it wasn't clear to me is that whose responsibility is it? CGA that's taken lead on something like this, or is it something that Yana Fleming or one of their subs that has produced the material? I think the other aspect of that, the proposal goes into details on the different flexibility and methodology of like in-person meeting, both online. And I think as we all read through all these proposals, I see that there's a lot of reference on online meetings, Zoom meetings, and again, it's very consistent to what we're doing right now and the nature of 2020. I'd like to see the separation from public engagement efforts, such as if there's different level of public engagement, if it's an LRTP, that's a huge scale type of updates, what are those separation would be. And if you don't have an exact example, I'd like to see what is your proposed approach would be. So that's some of the things that I'd like to see a little more. They do have some project experience on land development, code updates, which I think it's, really talk about like the examples of workshops and, kitchen table scale type of meetings and interaction games and crossword puzzles. I think those are from implementation and the planning aspect. I like that, example. And from pop-up outreach events, and this is really exciting to see, because like pre-pandemic, we did a lot of those type of work. And I think it's they represent the potential solution from before and after, like instant voting tools, right? And so now it's I think that's really that's a good example. There were some discussion on ADA and compliance, and I really like the draft example that for alternative matrix for Move DC. I really like how that's being represented. Some projects, and I think everybody was involved with the smart plan itself. And I think this is like consistent with all the other proposals. I don't know of what scale or what capacity each one of these firms are involved with, especially in the smart plans. I'd like to see more of that instead of a general overview. And this is a general comment. Although I think CGA and their examples presented a lot of project experience for land development code, I didn't see examples of like different corridor studies or lane elimination, I like to see a balance between that when I look through the projects, such as safety audits, complete streets implementations, those aspects. The MLK access management and arterial management traffic study is really closely because, again, I'm thinking of TPA regional model, regional traffic analysis. So I like that example. I do think that that aligns with the TPA needs. So I think by looking through the resumes, I think, you know, all the proposal really had skilled group of staff. I think, you know, one of the more, I guess, experience that would be reflected is Gannett Fleming. They had a little more experience, and they're part of the team of regional modeling for the Miami TPO. I see that key personnel from substance are not referenced. And again, that goes back to the org chart, right? Like, who are those and people, what project and what aspect are they working on at what capacity? And I, you know, and I think, I don't know, I'm not sure, maybe this is a point of clarification if there's like a cap on how many pages that they're allowed to submit. But I think, you know, for me, I would benefit from to see a little more resumes. There was a discussion on EDTM on the project write-up, but I didn't see how it would be utilized, especially for prioritizing projects. So it was more general. I'd like to see, like, how would you utilize those tools to help the TPA prioritize a really large program, a large-scale program? Let's see, from the search side corridor analysis, even though there was not a lot of reference in prioritizing funding, but I think that's, you know, I like that example. I like that project. The type of corridor analysis that helps city prioritize infrastructures and new development. So that's more, and I'm approaching it from, like a process aspect, right? Like to look at a vision and then break down like different aspects of how to implement. And from that aspect, I do think that experience is relevant. And then there were different discussions for collaborations in different agencies. I do think that the PM is very experienced and has have experience working with the TPA, working with different relationships and throughout Palm Beach County itself. And I believe that the PM will be able to provide a collaboration for need of the TPA. And those are all my notes that I have.
Okay, should I go next?
Sure.
And I want to say that I'm probably going to be scoring fairly evenly across on all of the categories that are more focused on planning, prioritizing funding, and so forth, because that's not my wheelhouse, and I don't want to skew the results. There may be some variables, but those scorings from me on all of these applicants are probably not going to vary widely. I'm concentrating primarily on my expertise, which is engaging the public and also evaluating the DBE experience and qualifications and commitments there. In fact, while I'm mentioning that, I'll go ahead and say that on this particular application, there seemed to be 15% allocated for two different sub-consultants, which I assume would be a total of 30%, and which is, I think, higher than I saw in other applications. I don't know if that's a commitment, but it's certainly a very strong indication that they're realizing the commitment that we as the TPA have to try to engage consultants and sub-consultants that help our targets. Yes.
One correction there. The ones I see, there's three on the list on page 19.
So you see three? Okay.
And yeah, so we have A&P.
Yes, that was one. Yes, please do jump in and correct me if I've made an error on anything. Okay. So so you saw three, what percentage? Yes, I'm sorry.
I see 15, 15, 15.
I see the third one, so 45. So that's a huge percentage.
Melissa, just so you know, the goal from the state is 10.65, I believe, percent. It's something that we want to strive for, but it's like a goal that we have on the for around 10%.
Okay.
Not necessarily a strict requirement, but something that we should, you know, strive for.
Exactly. It's a consideration if all other things being equal, for sure. I was torn as I looked through all of these that trying to distinguish and evaluate my mind what's best. A company such as this one that seems to be relying entirely in-house for their public engagement contributions. And that's, I think I came to the conclusion after looking at all of these that probably none of these consultants is probably completely capable of doing a really stellar job of some really innovative and creative products in-house. And I did feel like this application was lacking to some extent in telling us exactly what the capability specifics of some of the things that they could do and the people that would be doing those. This one was unusual in that it did not have sub-consultants for public engagement outlined in the technical report. They did mention, I think it was already mentioned here, the pop-up outreach for youth input, which I was impressed with, and digital engagement. I was also looking for anything in all of these applications that seemed innovative, and especially in the virtual world that we're living in now. And they mentioned experience with public engagement using texting. And one I really liked that I've already had on my radar to do is interactive games and crossword puzzles, voting digital tools, church announcements. So those were things that I liked, but I would like to see more of an elaboration on who would actually be performing those tasks for us for tasks that we would do that would be similar. I was impressed that the point of contact has actually conducted public meetings to Spanish-speaking audiences, which I think is a very strong point. I was especially impressed on the ADA side about one of the tasks that they have that is a goal for us to bring our website into compliance and especially converting key documents to make them ADA compliant. So that stood out for me. As far as the planning aspects, it seems that the proposal focused somewhat on delivering transportation projects, more so maybe than the type of work that we would be doing with corridor studies and so forth, trying to build consensus in communities for modes of transportation, multimodal transportation. Certainly excellent local experience by the point of contact and his strong experience working directly with the TPA, and excellent local knowledge of the area, the community, and the relationships with local agencies. And that's all I have.
All right. So I agree with a lot of the comments that were made. I think this is a, you know, very skilled, experienced team. It did feel like it was more kind of on the engineering implementation focus, the kind of design and the type of projects that constructing agencies do, which we do more of the, we do design, but more of the visioning, planning phase. We want it to be implementable, but we don't really get into a lot of the more of the construction details. I liked the outreach, the microstation concepts. Those were really cool, and they had some participation in the smart plan. Some of the information though seemed some of it seemed a little copy and paste from our TPA documents and website, including some outdated information referring to us as the Palm Beach MPO, in regards to the Vision Zero plan and Complete Streets policy. At the time that we adopted those things, we were the MPO, but we're no longer the MPO. So those were kind of my things. The same thing that Melissa mentioned, the DBEs were mostly engineering, but none for outreach. And some of the graphics in the proposal, like the matrix, were hard to read. They were a little blurry. And overall, like the design of the proposal, that graphic aspect was okay. But I think it's a strong proposal, and I guess those are my comments.
And then the follow up, it's what you and Wen said. What I had for my notes for mostly under the plan, the system, was that it was seemed to be more geared towards traffic signal studies, operational improvements, and then land use code development. So, and then I said city traffic engineering services. So I think it didn't have a lot of balance with some of those larger scale MPO type of studies.
Yep. Yeah. So I agree, Andrew. I think that's, but what I'd like to see is that, let's say, if a firm doesn't have, experience working with large MPOs, I'd like to see an approach that's elaborated. If you're doing an LRTP update, how would you approach it? And I think those mm-hmm. are additional details that, that would help. And I found that in other proposals. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that elaboration in the proposal. Do we have any other comments on CGA at this time? Should we move on?
Sure.
So I guess the next one on the list is Kim Lee Horn. Mm-hmm. Melissa, do you want to take a lead this time?
Let's see. Okay, Kim Lee is one of, I think, three of our applications today that is relying partially or totally on Valerin as a sub-consultant for public engagement. I'm not that familiar with Valerin. I'm familiar with the name and one staff member, but not necessarily the type of work that we would do. But the fact that Valerin has been selected by, I think, 50% of our applicants, and everything I read, they do seem to have a wide variety of expertise and experience with some major contracts. They also have assistance from Urban Health Solutions, Alta Planning, and excellent experience by the point of contact, of course, previously serving as one of our GPCs, and, of course, strong local knowledge and relationships, including the agents, our agency and other agencies that we work with. I am adding up the DBE just to keep track. Again, I fully understand that that's only if all things being equal, but they have four different companies that they are using that have DBE firms as subs, and the total of those would be 21%. And that's probably all I have on that, please. Thank you.
I think if I may add, Melissa, because you're on the DBE and MBE, I think it's really impressive because on page, I would say 6 out of 126, they actually provided a chart over the years of how many DBE firms that was used by Kim Lee Horn in general as a firm capacity. And I think it's really impressive, especially in 2019, they used 364 firms and over $41 million paid to the DBE. Mm-hmm. I think that scale is actually very impressive.
When which page are you on?
For me, it's page one. It's listed as the number page one.
Are you on a paper? I'm on a PDF.
I'm on exactly. PDF. I'm on the paper at the moment.
PDF, page six?
It's numbered as page one, but PDF
yes,
would
page
be six.
On PDF.
Yes, and I did note that I was interested in what percent of the work it was and how much of that reflected their work here in our local area, but I did notice that, and they seem committed to using minority firm participation in DBE firms.
Well, just to let you know, Valerian is a DBE firm.
Right, correct.
City of West Palm Beach, we actually selected Valerian as one of our community outreach firm in a general contract a few years ago. And, so we have some experience working with them.
Very good. Yes, they seem to have a wide variety of skills, including some higher tech things like the virtual reality videos and things of that type. And I believe I saw in a couple of applications, they were highlighting Valerin's capabilities for drone photography, which I think can sometimes be helpful, especially for corridor studies.
I'll go next, if you guys want. Sure. If you're done, Melissa.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. I thought this was a really strong and attractive proposal. They have a ton of experience with MPOs and with the TPA. They've led a lot of our complete streets efforts. And yes, are doing drone flyovers and renderings for us. They were clearly aligned with our mission and vision and the tasks and familiar with what we do. As you mentioned, Melissa, good outreach and marketing DB. The Valerin group looked really good, and several people have them on their proposal. And they also had Alta Planning, which I was impressed recently with their public engagement for the Flagler and Avernia. No, Natura. Natura and Avernia. Yeah. The virtual outreach and public engagement that occurred for that, and the Facebook page and all the different things that, you know, were around that project. I thought that was really creative and attractive, even at the beginning of this pandemic, to kind of adapt to that. And they have strong bike ped experience. They've worked on our bicycle and pedestrian desires for our LRTP. They also have urban health partnerships, which is the lead for our Safe Street Summit that we organize every year. And they have experience with health impact assessments, which is something that we want to do with our corridor studies. They also had two more DB reporting for data collection and lane repurposing complete streets projects, and experience with the smart plan, wave, the streetcar corridor, stops model. I liked their rendering examples. Overall, they were really well-rounded, and also some Vision Zero action plan experience, but I thought this was a really strong and attractive proposal. Those are my comments.
I can go next, if you don't mind. So very similar to what everybody found or saw in the proposal, absolutely. Kimley Horn has a long history serving MPOs and doing LRTP development. And I think it's very evident in the proposal that, they've displayed multiple examples of that. There were discussions on different levels of engagement for different projects. And to me, that project write-up or the approach itself was impressive. And I also like not so much as hosting a meeting via Zoom right now during technology, but utilizing different social media platforms such as Facebook or Nextdoor or YouTube. To engage. And as you said, Valerie, of course, Alta Planning is part of the team, and I have personal experience working with them because they are a consultant with the city. They're part of our mobility firm that helped us engage over 700 people pre-pandemic at one of our public meeting. From a visual standpoint, I think Valerin has capability preparing their virtual reality videos. My phone just cut out a little bit. The other thing is that the proposal was very organized to provide details on the section on plan the system, such as multimodal plans and policies. And they referenced different roadway conceptual plans and also the success of the US-1 corridor study. And they completed part of that in Del Rey. Right. So as Kimley Horn provided a list of reference projects, I think that it's very consistent with this TPA's goal, and such as the health impact assessment, as you referenced earlier. From the traffic study standpoint, I think that TPA has conducted the lane elimination studies for Delray Beach, the U.S. Corridor study. They're currently working with BOCA. You know, those are relevant experience that is consistent with the TPA need. I think that the PM is very experienced with working with different MPOs and advisory committees, and it's proven in his resume. There was discussions on implementation of the statewide public involvement handbook. I think that's I like that discussion. I think that they could elaborate a little more on what type of different stakeholders that, you know, and what are the, some of the conflicting interests. And I think that's a really great example. But to me, I'd like to see a little more of that. So are there some examples like they can provide, such as pop-up bike lanes? And I know that, you know, I know that Kindlinghorn themselves has done a lot of bike ped type of projects. So I'd like to see that. But I do like the comprehensive organizational chart, and it breaks down all the pillars that the TPA from engage the public to plan the system. So from an org chart standpoint, I know exactly who's working on which area and which one of their subs is working on it. So I really appreciate that aspect. And then, of course, if you look through all their projects and the reference project that was provided, they definitely have a lot of experience working with other TPOs, MPOs, and of course the Palm Beach TPA. And then the other thing that now I'm being picky, but like one of the references they show was SFRTA, you know, it's a $15 million fee listed. So I really like to see if it's an actual fee that's collected. So that was the only thing that really, to me, it's like it's a pet peeve of mine. Like, is that the actual fee that was collected from the contract? And I doubt it's $15 million, but it could be. Anyways, beyond that, it's a very strong proposal. Lots of great examples. Very qualified staff, and you know, like they hit all the mark for everything from DBE, community engagement, planning the corridor, execution, and of course, all the experience they have with the LRTP. So overall, I think it's a very strong proposal.
Thank you. So what I found, you know, looking at the tech proposal, it, like you guys are saying, it seemed pretty well-rounded overall. I have mention of the Broward Complete Streets Master Plan. They also mentioned other corridor studies, traffic studies, lane repurposing studies in multiple locations, not only in our county, but in Broward County. I also mentioned in my notes about the aesthetic renderings and showing that with the drone videography and other renderings they showed in their tech memo, their 10 pages. And then I also had for the prioritized funding to implement projects, I had them as one of my the stronger ones of the group overall in my notes. And, you know, they linked their prioritization and some examples with what they've done for the Broward MPO when it comes to how they administer their federal funding, competitive funding projects. And they've made an automated process to score those projects and map those. So, you know, having that kind of things here at the TPA, and that's what we were trying to strive for in our under prioritized funding and implement projects in our proposal, our evaluation criteria, was to sort of get more into this database management and tracking product prioritization. So I really liked that portion of it. And then my last note was that I saw a lot of the examples and their main examples for the types of products they've done was all linked back to the prime consultant on it. So, you know, who we'd be dealing with as a manager of the contract is showing up a lot in a lot of the different examples they have. I think that's all I have.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's, again, I want to reiterate, you know, lots of experience working with different MPOs, TPOs, and TPA, and overall, like, a strong proposal. Moving on to Stantec.
Andrew, do you want to keep talking and start off with this one?
Sure. Let me get my notes out here. So some of the notes I did have, overall, I felt pretty good about this proposal. You know, I saw in my notes here, I have also had a lot of those sort of those studies and a general well-rounded with their what they offer. I saw success for land repurposing projects in our area. They also administered the bicycle pedestrian count program, I believe, for the state, and leading that effort. And that's something that we're trying to get more into here is bigger data and, having more automated processes and collecting data and having good data. And that's something that we've just started implementing here in our county at the TPA level. And then for my notes, I did see, their main manager of the contract does have a lot of experience. They are, it seems to be located in Fort Myers. And so this is the only one that seemed to be on the west coast of Florida, as opposed to the other ones all being our main manager out of either Palm Beach County, Broward, or Miami.
Andrew, I think I saw that the primary contributors were also Coral Gables and somewhere else on the East Coast here.
Okay. Okay. And then the last one I had was, I gotta reference some other notes here, but I had the example that they had for their best and like their best examples of products that would be towards this proposal. It didn't really have the product manager as being involved much in those. Was something I wanted to note, just based on some of the other proposals where I saw the manager being the lead of all those other examples they had.
So if I may jump in right here, I see that there the team itself is Marlin with Patel Green and Associates of Valerian. This is one of the firms that use Valerian, because so I think that's very consistent of what we saw. Urban Health Solutions and Tyndall Oliver as part of their team. So I'm excited to see the teaming aspect of it and see the range of expertise in each one of these. I engage the public, in the write-up it speaks about, online support tools, translation service, meeting facilitations. But again, it's one of those that didn't elaborate, in comparison to the last proposal on the reaching out for those who doesn't have access, maybe, different interactive engagement, obtaining the feedback. So the example of the COVID engagement, shifting to an online forum. And again, it's one of those things like, yes, we all shift to an online forum. But what I'm looking for is extra, right? Like, the last proposal talks about using Nextdoor just to get more people to engage. So instead of using just a generic, message on how to engage the public, I'd like to see like, is the event, say, is streaming on Facebook? Is there a different website set up? Is there, are there raffles set up for something that just to get people to pique their interest? So I didn't see that in the write-up. So the discussions of, especially for planning the system was, it was brief. For Northwest 29th and 81st Street, I like that project a lot. I'd like to see what was the scope and what are the challenges and how, StamTech would overcome it. There was discussion on utilization data display to help with decision making to achieve the TPA goals. I like that part of the write-up. I do think that's very consistent, especially now that there's a lot of emphasis on using different databases as decision making tools, which I know that TPA already has implemented. Prioritize funding sections, focus more on grant management and development. I think the proposal missed the mark here with the intent of this section. I do think that, from my knowledge, that the TPA do use screening tools to help with determine eligibility for each project. But as far as prioritizing, there are, detailed score sheets on how a project would score higher than the other. And I think from that aspect, I'd like to see a little more elaboration on that. And then the team experience, like prioritizing for large programs, right? Large program in general. It doesn't have to be referenced to the TPA, but it could be like a different capital improvement program for a city or something like that. And that's the other thing that I was looking for. I was actually looking for, if the firm doesn't have experience, I was looking into the resume to see if the staff that's on the team has that level of experience that could, I'm sorry, my PC just restarted right now, so I don't have my notes available in front of me, so I truly apologize, but I'm going to end my, pause on my discussion right now as I'm trying to figure this out.
I'll jump in.
Thank you.
I thought this was an attractive and a strong proposal. It had a lot of DBEs with strong outreach marketing DBEs and also DBEs to support data collection. They did overlap a little bit with Kimley Horn on some of the team members like Valerian and they had Wen noted the Marlin who we work with one of their staff who's working with FDOT for bike ped counts. We're moving more towards automated counts right now, 24/7 counts, but that's still interesting. And then they had, you know, Tyndall has transit experience. They did have some experience. Overall, they had some experience plan. I liked that they had experience with Vision Zero with Forward Pinellas. We look at Forward Pinellas a lot to see what initiatives and things they're doing. So that was nice. I thought they had nice rendering examples. Felt like they were big on engineering design too. But overall, I thought it was an attractive and a strong proposal.
Should I go on, Wen, or are you still looking?
I'm going to have to reboot everything.
Okay.
A few minutes. I truly apologize.
Okay, I'll jump in and then maybe you'll be rebooted by the time I'm done.
I'm crossing my fingers.
Good. On the paper copy, the print version, page one, there's a section for the ScanTech team. And in the third paragraph, it says our core team members are located in Coral Gables, West Palm Beach, and Fort Myers. So they will have the local presence. They do use subconsultants. In fact, I was not certain who on their team, if they have a specific in-house point of contact for public engagement or just the point of contact for the entire project. But they do have a very strong team of four different subconsultants for public engagement, including Valerian again, and what they bring with visualizations, video production, drone services, and so forth, but also Media Relations Group, which is also another DBE, and their experience with multimedia and a variety of services, but they also, Media Relations Group, MRG, also has extensive MPO experience, which I think would be very valuable. Also MAD for Marketing, and they were, I liked that they point out that their contribution would be specific to websites. Again, another DBE, and of course, Urban Health Partnerships. And we've seen Urban Health Partnerships and Urban Health Solutions on a couple of these teams, and we have experience, of course, working with them, certainly for event planning. They've done our Safe Street Summit probably from the beginning, an excellent job, and also the health assessments and all that those two arms of the company do, or two related companies, I should say. Some of the innovative things that ScanTech had that I noticed were virtual public meeting rooms. So again, to the comment that not just moving everything online, but ways to use it effectively and to maybe break people out into different sessions depending on their interest or just to have smaller groups. They're more manageable so more people can be heard and contribute. Also, they proposed the use of Mind Mixer, an online interactive mapping. We do have an online interactive comment map that's been developed by the TPA. So I'm not familiar enough with Mind Mixer to know how that may differ, if that brings something else to the table for us or not. And also that they are committed to partnering with already scheduled events. Now, to some extent, that may or may not change based on things being virtual, But certainly I think we've all found for a long time that people don't tend to just come to public meetings for projects or whatever. You have to go to where the people already are. And maybe that's a certain Zoom or online virtual meeting, but you have to go to the people, I think, to be effective. I think we've all found that out for a long time. They do have a sub for translations, so that was good to indicate their commitment to the limited English proficiency. They are committed to 10% for DBE, and they're the only one that I recall that actually said it was a commitment that they were making. I think the numbers I add up came to about 9%, but 9 or 10%, I like the word commitment that they and that they aren't being overly ambitious with the number on that probably. Again, strong MPO planning experience. Although the proposal does seem somewhat focused on delivering transportation projects, and certainly excellent local knowledge and relationships, including agencies.
Okay.
Are you rebooted?
Yeah, the lights came on.
That's a good sign.
I know. I was signaling to you, Melissa, I'm like, speak slower. I left off with prioritizing funding. And again, within the write-up, it was more focused on grant management. And I think that's on the other side of what the TPA does, right? It's really to prioritize the grant projects is what's important. There were discussion with a lot of implemented project experience with working with the DOT and from that aspect, a lot of focus on engineering. I think the TPA joint collaboration with different agency. Also, I'd like to see more if you're going to reference like, hey, we work well with DOT. Well, no, there's PalmTran, there's Palm Beach County, there's different municipal governments, etc. And I think that could be elaborated a little more. They have a reference experience with LRTP in Collier County MPO. So I like that as part of the team effort, they have the experience. And then, of course, looking into the details of each one of those projects that was provided, I really like the concept for the design of Six Ford Road Complete Street Study in North Carolina. And the project actually was referenced that they won the Project of the Year in 2015 for NCSITE. And so, again, personal preference, you know, I really like the design concept, and I think that's a level of innovation that I think is well represented as far as like a biped design that the TPA may benefit. And some other more impressive projects that was referenced is Western Boulevard Multimodal Complete Street Study in North Carolina. Again, Santec was part of the ALTA team up there. And again, I don't know who's the lead, but the outcome of the project is as well. I didn't see an org chart. I don't know if you guys saw an org chart, if you can reference an org chart, but I didn't see an org chart. So I don't know, who's working on what, with the level of expertise that's on this team, you know, if I'm the TPA, I'd like to know who do I go to? Is it Valerian for public engagement, or is it the PM that's going to administer and manage everything? So I didn't see that, and I didn't see how each one of the subs can be referenced. That's all my notes I have.
Excuse me, I think there is an org chart.
There's one on if you're like the PDF, it's page 15. When I'm not sure if that helps you or not.
Yeah, and it's page 2 of the published version.
So I apologize. I just now see it. So I will take back the last 15 seconds of what I said.
I sort of related though what you said about who does what, and this goes back to your comment, Melissa, about the DBE. They have a lot more firms with a spread out DBE participation in the 1-2% for and they're committed to 10%. Whereas the other ones, you know, for example, CGA had 3 total for, and showing 15% for each, which I guess, I don't know how that plays out. I don't know if you guys have more experience in what actually comes to like implementation of these contracts. I'm wondering if that's, you know, for the first one, if you can say that it's a total of 45% DBE participation or if it's just they're looking to try to have a total of 15% between all three of those, you know? So I was just wondering if you guys...
I can't speak on TPA's contract because I'm not very familiar with it, but for the city contracts, let's say there's an overall goal of 15%, and our goal is 15%. What that means is that each time you have a task work order or you have a work order that you submit, that's the goal that you try to achieve. Now, I know it's not going to be possible every time, right? Sometimes it's more heavy in engineering and sometimes heavy in public engagement. So it's always help to have the goal, but each task work order that they submit, you're supposed to target that goal as much as you can. And then you have the overall goal because you have multiple work orders. So I think it's some of these firms that utilize, let's say Valerian, right, as their DBE, their local in the city here, that you're almost guaranteed to always hit that mark. So I think that's...
The way that we've been doing it, it's something, I mean, we have a tracking work order sheet for each of our GBCs, and we have, it's all like a formula. We don't necessarily do it by work order because, as Wen mentioned, it's sometimes you just need data collection and that's what you need, or you just need someone to do something for outreach and you can't involve a bunch of different people. So we really look at it more as an overall, but and track it as we're moving along on the contract. In a perfect world, it would be work orders, like every single work order has, we're striving for that goal, but we look at it more as a, to hit that 10%, that 10.65%.
Okay. So moving on to Cordino. Is it back to me?
You can start.
So I have to admit, I read this proposal the longest and I had to go back and forth a few times while reading this proposal. And mainly because I was actually very impressed with the write-up. I think whoever put this proposal together did a very well job of just making it unique to this RFQ itself. So going through the proposal, I see that they have experience with various type of projects such as Vision Zero, Complete Streets, different type of corridor, and active transportation projects. They use 3D modeling, animation, VR as part of their public engagement strategy. I think they're very specific type of engagement that they reference, such as pop-up engagements or different various venues for to target specific like a specific audience, right? So I particularly like the public life study before and after improvements that seem to make an observant impact, and I think that's kind of a unique approach to what we typically do from a measurement standpoint. But I think the quality of life and measuring how people live in space before and after is very unique in that aspect that stands out for me. So while Cordino did not have a lot of specific experience in prioritizing funding, I believe that the PM was really thoughtful for to provide a unique perspective, especially having Lambert Advisory and on this team. And I think that's part of the reason why I was just going back and forth, is that this is very different from what the other proposal that I've seen, right? So the Lambert Advisory, they have experience with grants, bond, tax increments. That, yes, I know it's not similar to what we're talking about with federal grants and federal funding that comes down, but I do think that from a financial planning aspect, it's very complex from what they're doing, for especially with tax increment like CRAs, and typically from that aspect, that I do think that that level of experience may be relevant. They're part of the Macon Connect project with 880 cities. And of course, we're all very familiar that project has a tremendous amount of success and very well executed. Really unique engagement planning process, including transit users to radicalize communities. And that's the detail that was provided in the proposal. I'm also more impressed with the Corradino's knowledge of demographics on Palm Beach County. And I think that, again, whoever prepared the proposal put a lot of effort into pulling up those details and adding it. They're able to identify different stakeholders, organizations such as the Hispanic Chamber to the National Coalition of 100 Black Women. You know, that, to me, that write-up is very impressive. Corradino, they've also conducted the Village Palm Springs Mobility Study and the St. Cloud Transportation Master Plan. Those two projects really stand out for me. I like that the proposal went into details of scope of work for each project. For example, the Andrews Complete Streets, the project consists of pedestrian counts for 10 mid-block crossings. I mean, you can't be more specific than that, right? And so again, you know, that those are the details that stand out. There were some discussions with ETDM, but again, you know, I even though it didn't go into details of how to use the tools, looking at the scoring criteria that the TPA may have, but I do think that Lambert Advisory as part of the team is very unique. Again, they're using Valerian, so we don't need to go into details of what Valerian can provide. That's good. This is a really, my note is that it's a very well-written proposal, and I think the PM invested a lot of efforts into preparing this document, and I think that, to me, should get an extra bonus, and I read a lot of proposals, like hundreds of proposals in the last few months, and I know that for someone to put this level of effort means that they're going to be able to put the same level of effort in serving their client. So I appreciate the complexity of the org chart itself and the potential need for the TPA for meeting support to emerging mobility technology. They were also part of the SMART plan, you know, the SMART plan project. And their sub-consultant, R.S. Street, was part of the team that was selected by the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials to help develop a rapid policy assessment tool. And I actually looked into that tool, and I really like that it's an online-based tool that you could, you know, that helps you prioritize. Really, really impressive tool. Where I think, like, Corradino lacked in self-performance experience. And I understand not every firm or not every proposal submitted is going to have a huge amount of MPO or TPO's experience. I do think that the team is comprehensive, that will meet the TPA's need. And, like, overall, I'm very impressed with the write-up in this proposal.
I'll, jump in. I agree with a lot of the points that made. I'll add that they also mentioned they had Vision Zero experience with Forward Pinellas. I'm not sure how, I know Stantec also mentioned that, so I'm not sure who really did what. But then they had the Valerian Group, which is DB for marketing, and they look really good. 880 Cities brings in a new perspective, which is exciting because they do really neat work for pop-up projects and engaging the public. I'd be interested. I know I'm most familiar with their work more of in-person, on the streets, on the ground type outreach, so I'd be interested to see how they've adapted to this, the current situation of more of a virtual outreach experience. They mentioned also, yeah, the public life studies, Alert Today and Live Tomorrow branding, website development, modeling congestion management, economic benefit analysis. I thought it was overall an interesting and a good proposal. They mentioned mobility and complete streets. A lot of the proposals mentioned these things, but I thought it was interesting, and the 880 cities kind of gave it an interesting twist as well.
To add on to that, Wen, I felt the same way about the overall tech proposal, about it visually, it was put together well, it's professional, and then in the content, you know, it did really link to deliverables, right, and outcomes that they can provide. And I think they're the strongest for me and showcasing that was with like engaging the public, and they provided the different methods they could reach out and have different types of tools there. And then they had that specific reference to the 880 cities pop up in Macon, which I really liked. And then they went into more about website and app development, and their strengths there. And then, again, going back, and they talk about graphic design and visualizations and providing, specific examples of how they've been able to do that. And then, overall for planning, I had some notes too about, again, Vision Zero, corridor studies, and then utilizing, Esri apps. You know, I did see some examples of how they're utilizing really, tools that are already available out there that we already have access to. And so it's nice to be able to, for them to be able to have experience in things such as Esri, or other products that we're already using on a daily basis and that we can already integrate into our workflow here, right? Instead of having to create something entirely separate and devoid from our planning staff. So it's nice that they're able to integrate those and we can work with them together on some of those items.
Is that all, Andrew?
I think so, yep.
Okay. To add to that, as you mentioned, Valerian again is a sub, but it's supplemented by three others. I was very happy to see that the 880 cities is among those, as others have mentioned. I really liked the org chart, the way they broke it down for everything, but especially for the public engagement, the part I was most focused on. Even under public engagement, they've got five separate subsections that not only tell you which companies are going to be doing the work, but the mix of the team members. And it seems to be a strong mix overall of in-house in combination with these different subs. So I really like the way that was organized. And to Wynn's point, you know who the contact is for various types. I mean, even as specific as just for graphics, they've listed like five people and which companies they work for, whether the prime or the sub, just to do something like graphics. So I thought that was very clear, easy to read on in all categories on the org chart. So it was excellent product there, information to help us determine what the roles were and the responsibilities. And it does look like there's a large commitment in-house as well as these subs for the public engagement. On the DBE, I only saw one, Melissa Hegg, I'm sure I'm butchering her name, seems to be the only DBE that I found, and please
Valerian
correct
is
if anyone found.
DBE.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right, also Valerian. It did not show a commitment or a percentage for Melissa, but yes, you're right, also Valerian is. Okay, and I think that's all I have to add. You guys have covered many points on this application, very strong.
Yeah.
I have a question. Did you guys, Valerie or Wen, did you see the DBE commitments anywhere? Or which, like a specific page that showed it? So I know it usually was in the 330 form.
Yeah, I know that Melissa, right, that is the DPE. Mm-hmm. And I know Valerian is. I didn't see anywhere else. I mean, I guess that's where that's lacking, right? Compared to what we saw in the Kimley Horn proposal. It's very clear.
Right. It was not listed on the 330, and I did a control find just to see if I was overlooking something, and Melissa is the one that kept showing up.
Yeah. I think
that's why I bypassed Valerian, but yes.
But I think overall, you guys listed your goal as on the RFQ. So that is the goal that every single, regardless of this firm or any firm that end up with the contract, they have to.
And really, it's us. It's not really that. Like when we issue our work orders, we look at who we have available, what their strengths are, and what we need, and we ask them. We want to use these folks or this firm to do this because they're skilled in that. And then we're kind of monitoring that goal. So it's not really, I mean, they can have I think both parties are striving for that goal, but we're the ones that direct the work order and who we want to use. So it's on us really to pay attention to that and you know, who's a DBE. So if you have more DBEs, it's better for us because there's more people to choose from. Some of the other firms had both, some, you know, had only engagement DBE, others had only kind of data collection engineering DBE. It's nice when you have both as in the case of, for example, Kimberly Horn. So, or Stantec, who had a bunch of DBEs. If you have more to choose from, then that makes it easier to reach your goal.
Yeah, well, the reason I mentioned is just because, you know, we had the 10, max 10 points for DB experience and qualification. So I want to make sure that I was linking that to the specific DBEs for those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think, we can move on to the next one. Kimberly or Kittleson. I'll start on this one. I thought this was a very attractive and strong proposal, similar to Kimberly Horn and, well, a lot of MPO-specific experience, TPA experience, regional planning for MPOs, and the regional transportation plan for South Florida. So they're very familiar with MPOs and what's going on right now with MPOs and what we're planning for in our region. Experience, they did do our Vision Zero action plan, so experience with Vision Zero, transit corridor studies, we have experience with them, they're really good at TOD, land use, and health impact assessments, which I think is a strength for them. Kimberly Horn, other folks, some folks mentioned HIA, but didn't really talk much about it. Stantec mentioned HIA, but then they had like the HIA strives to achieve these things, but that's not necessarily always the case. Part of the HIA process is coming up with a committee and then identifying out of many different things you could try to have as goals for the HIA, narrowing that down. So it's not always the same goals of an HIA. So Kittleson and Kimberly Horn both, you know, have that HIA experience, but Kittleson's really strong in that, and that's something that we want to do for future corridor studies, those health impact assessments with the transit studies. They also have Michael Baker, which we had some really good experience with the US 1 study. They went and rode the buses, the transit corridor, created stories of the corridors, interviewed all kinds of different people, had videos of the interviews, which all of that really helps in the final document development. And when you present to elected officials, if those people aren't able to be in the room, you have those voices of those folks of the corridor, of the different perspectives and their personal stories, which those stories of the corridor really make it much more well-rounded what you're trying to present versus just the people in the room saying, I never see anyone biking. I don't know why we're talking about this, you know, versus showing the people that bike and their story and how many buses they have to take and what their shoulder and a million other things. So that I think that's really good. They have data collection with SDK and other, I think a lot of their team has that experience, good renderings, visualization, Dover Coal planning. I haven't worked with them, but I've seen some of their work. It seems really interesting. A lot of planning experience, fixing sprawl. I think when they helped, they've worked with you guys, right? They've helped with the Clematis Street design and all that. So that's exciting. They also had smart plan experience and urban health partnerships. So again, this backing HIAs and the Safe Street Summit. And then, for the DBEs, they had, Alpha View, and CityFi, which I thought was interesting. I know we had View, I think I'm saying it wrong, but we had looked at them for data and like surveying, doing a transit and kind of complete streets, multimodal countywide survey, and they had some really cool tools and data, and they've done that for like opinion surveys. So I thought that was neat. They mentioned multimodal mobility safety assessment and then the Florida pedestrian bicycle safety plan update and new urbanist concepts, which their on mobility plans. And that's something that more and more of our cities are trying to do. And we try to be a funding partner and help our cities with those efforts. So I know that they're working right now with several of our communities. I think Wellington, maybe, I know Palm Beach Gardens, but maybe, Royal Palm Beach,
Boynton Beach.
So they're working on a few different things. The only thing I didn't feel was so much of a strength. I mean, they did have DBEs, but, you know, some of the other ones had more, but I did like the DBEs that they did have. So I think those kind of summarize my comments on this.
Should I go next?
Sure.
Okay. I think, this is one of, if not the most easily understood and personalized applications. I loved all the charts throughout that showed specifically the strengths of the various sub-consultants. I believe there are like 6 or 7 involved in some capacity in public engagement. So I thought that gave a very strong, versatile team. And several of those are DBEs. I think in one place, I believe I saw that Urban Health Partners and Urban Health Solutions were mistakenly, listed as DBEs. They were not listed as DBEs on other applications that they're participating
in. Yeah, I had a question about too, because I did see like their DBE certificate. I wasn't sure if they have achieved that recently. If that's something new or if they really are a DBE. So that was a question I had.
Yeah, it was mentioned, I think, in the cover letter, but then when you go over to the published version, page 2, no, I'm sorry, wrong page.
I saw it mentioned further down, too.
Yeah, oh, you did. Back, you saw it more than one place? Okay.
But I think they would qualify as a DBE. I don't know if they've recently been certified as a DBE. I think they had the qualifications to be a DB. I just don't know if they've actually achieved that that certification yet.
Right. But there are several other firms that are DBE. They're strong, and one that I've worked with previously that's excellent, Sunshine Communications. They did a lot of work for they were primarily all of the public outreach for the Army Corps of Engineers when I was employed there for about 4.5 years, and excellent, strong, versatile team there that's DBE. Along with, I was happy to see Urban Health Partners and Urban Health Solutions also on those. And of course, Michael Baker, Dover Cole, and Klassen Graphics, for, as a visualization specialist, and Alpha View. So I thought it was a very well organized, even from the cover letter. Of course, this consultant has the advantage of having worked with us as one of our 2 previous GPCs and also in various capacities for our regional plans and so forth, and has extensive experience with us and other MPOs. But even the cover letter was very personalized, and they made a point of distinguishing the differences between the team members that would be involved in this contract versus the existing one. But I thought it was a very well-organized, strong application, and definitely they have the versatility to meet any DBE goals for us. So I think that's all I have to add.
Melissa, I felt the same way about the submittal. You know, the tech memo is also one of the stronger ones, and articulated, you know, their examples well, and they're to the point and hit on everything that we're looking for in that order. So some of the strengths I saw the most were in some of their experience already with, obviously they worked with the TPA, but working with other MPOs on their as GPCs. And then they've had a lot of work statewide and in the district with FDOT to get a lot of things towards complete streets. I had written down, let's see, context classification as well as corridor studies. And then they've also led the online multimodal assessment tool for FDOT and FDOT Sourcebook at the state level. So, you know, being able to work on things that are a little more automated and then bringing in data and organization of data would really help us at TPA in the long run and all the other MPOs so that there's a better integration and it's more seamless ability for us to obtain that and work with that and analyze and show that information. So I do like seeing a lot of that and then taking the lead on that at the state level and then also in a district level.
I like that they have such a strong and I would say advocacy for, you know, safe systems and safe streets in general with DOT. Again, this is a very well written proposal. You can tell that the PM put a lot of effort into making it relevant to what the TPA needs. They have an advantage because they have had a lot of experience working with especially the TPA and different MPOs and TPOs around the state. I think the proposal breakdown of various need for engagement such as video production, digital messaging, and multilingual products, and they have examples to show for it, and I really, really like that. They have many different examples of completed work, and I think that's where the advantage is for public involvement, such as media materials for Florida 5.1 PSA video, right? So that's really great that they have samples and they have it in English and Spanish to show us. So I think from an LEP standpoint, it'll meet like the federal guidelines. I know that from some of the proposal we saw is like very heavy in civil engineering. This one is not. It's a little light, but they do bring a unique team of experience in land use policy, urban design, and mobility fees, and especially what Valerie mentioned, like Jonathan Paul with New Urban Concept. Yes, he is the only one other person that has completed many mobility studies and mobility fee for the state itself. And so the other aspect of it is that he has experience with funding priority, right? It may not be relevant to the TPA's funding, but as you're developing a mobility study, you have to prioritize the funding, and then you have to look at it from how to prioritize it in a way that you can develop the fee itself. So I do that. I think that experience is very relevant. So Kittleson has a lot of experience, again, numerous MPOs, TPOs, and TPA, also developed on FDOT online multimodal assessment tool, like you referenced, Andrew. The project experience separates them from the other proposal by having a very heavy focus on safety and planning, and it's really consistent with the city or the TPA's vision. Okay, the project team has, when you look into the org chart, it has a very lot of, like nationally known names, you know, like Joe Minicuzzi, Urban 3, really great work that he's done. He's a TED speaker. He used to be the city of Westwood Palm Beach urban planner. Yes, wow. Many, many years ago, 15 years ago. And, you know, we had such a great conversation. This is like probably a couple years ago, but he really helped us develop like some of the first lane elimination projects that, you know, like Olive Avenue, you know, south of the city. That was one of the few projects that we did 15 years ago. So the other names I saw is Victor Dover, of course, you know, helped us, award-winning Complete Streets, especially Clematis itself, and we're really mm-hmm. excited for it. And of course, I have to give a shout out to my friend Ahmed Dara. He is, a NACTO fellow in my 2018 year. So really, really, notable names on the org chart. I also like that it's very clear and it breaks down like key components of what the TPA would need. And I do appreciate that the project sheet is actually very clear. I don't know if you guys saw it, but they have a checkbox, right? And it has like all these items that you may need. and they check it off. I'm like, thank you so much for making it easy. So when I'm reading it, I'm like, okay, is this project relevant to planning the, you know, is this project relevant to prioritizing funding? So that was really, I think that was a pleasant experience for me to read through that. They're also part of the SMART plan. Just want to point that out. I'm a little jealous now because I was not part of the SMART plan. but it seems like almost everybody in South Florida is part of that plan. I'd like to know what's the capacity of that and each one of these firms and how that's being broken up. Overall, I mean, like, you can tell from the proposal, the teaming aspect, very unique team, you know, Urban SDK, they've done some, like I referenced that they did some work on for an online tool, you know, new urban concept. Michael Baker, absolutely, what Valerie mentioned about, you know, what they've done with the multimodal multimodal corridor study and doing the transit videos and interviews, that was very impressive. And I myself have used that example from the TPA in my own public engagement as it, that's the model, right? So again, proposal very well prepared. I think they have a team of very qualified staff. They have the experience, and I do think that this is a very strong proposal. The last one's WGI. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to go first?
I had a question for you first. This one, they already have a consultant with a contract with you all. Is that been started?
So they have with the city.
Yes.
So they held the general transportation and planning and engineering contract with us for 4 years now, mm-hmm. and they were recently reselected mm-hmm. as you know, they've done a lot of work for the city in the past few years.
They designed Banyan, right?
They did design Banyan, yes.
Wen, maybe you can start on this one. I know you just finished talking.
I have a lot of notes, so please bear with me. And again, it's, you know, I really enjoy reading all these proposals. It's, you know, it really, these proposals are sets apart. You know, there, you can see that you have a, like everyone who submitted is very, very qualified. I think the most exciting part of this proposal is that Team Better Block is now part of WGI, and they've, you know, they've been recognized for a lot of community engagement and public space activation, very similar to 880s and what 880s did on the other proposal. They use Mosaic as a part of the communications team, and they are a DBE. They've all, you know, also Mosaic as part of our general communications contract for the city. They offer Esri StoryMap, like Andrew mentioned earlier, that's something that you want to be able to integrate into what are you, the system and the program you already use, and then online app-based survey. Where I like to see more is like example of multimedia materials that was created. And this is something, you know, if you're going, comparing this to the last proposal, I think the last proposal has a lot more examples to show us. And then, of course, like, you know, I'm very interested to see if there's any multilingual materials, materials referenced as part of the summary. There are many projects highlighted in the plan, the system, from a multimodal design to transit access planning. I think that's really exciting from their tech memo and the front part that they provided. I think that the section highlight each key element from traffic counts to freight planning. And then again, you know, I like to see where it referenced in the project that was completed. I believe that, WGI demonstrated that they have knowledge of the ETDM screening tool. I believe that they gave some examples of prioritizing, project funding specific to federal aid type projects. Where I like to see is, you know, if there is an approach to, like, again, planning and prioritizing a large program. And I know they've been on some other teams in mobility studies throughout in Tallahassee, I believe. But, you know, something like that would be very, very relevant in developing a large program and prioritizing a program. So I would like to see that being expanded. Similar to the other team, they're using Urban SDK, and they reference the Smart North Florida Data and Exchange platform. I think this is really exciting because I know Urban SDK, and this is it piqued my interest for me to even look into this even further. I think it's a really great example of utilizing GIS database to support planning efforts, like in general. I believe that DGI prepared details on different agencies in this region, their role and their relationships from subs to prime. Similar to the other proposal, I think that they talked about utilizing Zoom platform, preparing and to assist the TPA. Great, but again, you know, I think some of the other proposal, like I believe the Kinglehorn one, really goes into details of utilizing Nextdoor and YouTube platform and all these other multimedia platform that could help. They highlight many different neighborhood planning projects in the proposal, and I think that's really exciting. It stands out. One of the projects that really stand out for me is the Grover at Shoal Creek project. It looked at traffic analysis, mitigation strategy by offsetting trips using multimodal improvement. That's a great example of a mobility type study, you know, and I really appreciate the details that's prepared in here. HDR is part of the sub, and I know that they have a lot of experience and similar experience with the MPOs, such as updating the bike ped improvement plan and the creation of the interactive MTP web map and apps. So I think that teaming aspect is, to me, that's interesting, right? I know that HDR, just from previous knowledge, has a lot of work with like the UTC in Jacksonville. They've done some really innovative and, technology focused type of projects up in North Florida. And then, lastly, from the org chart, very detailed, and I appreciate that they have a placemaking as a category. And I think this is unique and sets them apart from the other proposal. So that's all my comments I have for WGI.
Should I go next? Okay. It looks like they're using a combination of in-house and sub-consultants. And they have just one sub-consultant for public engagement, the Mosaic Group. And I'm not familiar with them, but they do have a very impressive list of clients, both public and private sector, including Palm Tran and the City of West Palm, Riviera Beach CRA, Brightline School District, and then other things like the Outlet Mall and the Convention Center Hilton. I wonder if the type of public engagement needed for all of those things may not all be relevant, but certainly their experience with the private sector may actually open some doors and bring some new opportunities for partnerships. So they do seem very impressive and versatile, and certainly have been selected by some major entities, both public and private. Some of the more innovative public engagement strategies were the virtual outreach portals, the breakout rooms in Zoom, telephone town halls. I know those have been used successfully by other MPOs. And one thing that got my attention was input posters outdoors. And I'm not sure exactly how that works, but it seemed to be something that was allowing for reaching people where they are and also allowing for the social distancing and all. So I would be interested to hear more about that. In the planning side, a lot strong mention of an experience with complete streets and placemaking, micromobility, curb management. I think this is the only application that I recall seeing that in. I think that's a very strong thing. I think the city now is involved in that, City of West Palm, I believe, in curb management within Rosemary Square. I think I've read something recently on that. So I think I think that seems, I'm not sure who, I think it was a pilot project to apply for something, but that got me thinking about how important that is. And even like with the Detour and Avernia streets, I see frequently large trucks taking up the entire center lane, and it makes you realize just how important it is to have access for deliveries and to service businesses at the same time while you're trying to make a street pedestrian friendly and all that. So I like the mention of the curb management. I did not see specifics, and I apologize if I overlooked, but I did not see specifics on DBE firms, and it was not listed on the 330 form. I do very much like their org chart. It's much more simple than the last one we saw, fewer names. Maybe this is just the primary context, but it did really break it down nice and graphically and showed, and it does look like most of these categories are covered primarily in-house at WGI, and I know they've got extensive services, but it does show the breakdown of which tasks that other firms would be involved in. So,
yeah, Melissa, the DBE is on that same chart you're looking at.
Yeah,
it's not a breakdown. It has
Mosaic.
Oh yes, it knows this, which ones. Yes,
and then JFO Group.
Yes, I see that now. Thank you. I don't see numbers though. Did you see numbers?
No,
I haven't checked it.
I don't think. Okay. Good. So that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was looking through this. I mean, they are pretty local. I know that they had a lot of examples of local products they've worked on. I know they're, have a, office here in West Palm Beach to be out of. Some of the things that I saw their biggest strengths in I had were with the engagement public. Engagement public, they had a lot of good examples of what they would provide. For that, mixing, you know, traditional innovative ways of doing that. I did, as Wen mentioned, like that they were integrating more into sort of, you know, tools that we already had here at the TPA, and that they're also passionate about, you know, data structure and moving towards that future for us. And also at the state level. You mentioned, let's see, where else I had for Better Block, another example of community engagement, which I had for Engage the Public. I guess from a overall planning perspective, a lot of their work has been more into city services. And then they did have a lot of engineering work at the street level, with the design of corridors. And I know they've worked on a lot of LI or local initiatives and transportation alternatives grants here at the TPA for submittals of those. I think that's really all I have for my notes right now.
Okay, I guess I'm last. So I thought this was an attractive proposal. They, as you guys mentioned, have a lot of local complete streets project experience. I like their renderings a lot. It seems like the projects, they are also go from design to actual implementation of the projects. I'm not personally familiar with the Mosaic Group, but they look really cool. That's neat. That's really cool that they're working with Better Block, because similar to Better Block and 880 Cities, which a lot of times work together, they've done some pretty creative pop-up engagement, public engagement stuff. They didn't have as much smart plan experience as some of the others, which we're really looking to them as for our corridor studies. They had good complete streets project design and mobility experience, the urban SDK with the data. They mentioned health impact assessments, but then they didn't under HDR, but they didn't really mention any details, or maybe I missed it, examples. Like, they didn't go into it. They just said this person has experience with HIAs, but I didn't see too much really more details about that. So, and then they kind of had less DBEs than some of the others. So overall, I thought it was an attractive proposal aligned with a lot of the things that we're trying to achieve. Those were my thoughts.
Okay. I think we completed our review of all the proposals. And I would look back to Margie Do we have a discussion on if we want to see like presentations from them, or are we ready to score as our discussion is completed?
So I do have more of a script, and the next part does say it appears that discussion of the proposals for RFP 2020-01 has concluded. If any of the selection committee members has any additional remarks that you wish to make, please use the raise hand function in Zoom to be recognized. Or you can physically raise your hand. There's only four of you, so. I don't know if any of you do have any closing remarks.
Well, I'll raise my hand.
Okay.
In the camera. Closing remarks, I thought we received some really strong proposals. They were all really good overall. Some were outshined, some others more, but overall really strong. So I'm really happy about that. I appreciate everyone's time to put into preparing these.
I have a remark. I agree with you, Valerie. I think you have six very strong proposals in front of you, and coming from, and again, I'm looking at from an outsider looking into the TPA, and I'm glad to help and to be able to help provide inputs that will help guide this selection. I do think that regardless of how the result is, that you have, there's six very qualified firms, and I'm excited that a lot of these firms have local experience and local knowledge, and that is able to help change the built environment that we have here in South Florida. So that's really exciting to see. I learned a lot from just reading these proposals. I didn't know that some of these are even possible. So I would say kudos to everybody that, is on any of this team. It's very impressive. And then lastly, it's, the level of effort that I see some of these PMs put into these proposals it's beyond belief to me, and I believe that with that level of effort, they will be able to provide, cater to really the TPA as the client and put in the same level of effort as they're serving the TPA. So that's all I have to say.
I would say the same thing. I commend the proposals overall. They all were very strong, very professional. And it's great to see that they're all working and have great work throughout our county and then in our neighboring counties. And even the ones that we don't choose in the end, I think we'll still be working with those other firms throughout and dealing with them and interacting with them the next coming year. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And I also would like to thank all who put such a strong effort and time and energy into submitting these proposals, compiling them. And I'm just very impressed that we got six strong proposals. None of them are significantly weak at all. I think it's very, very competitive. And I think I feel good that many strong companies are interested in being either a consultant or a sub on one of the teams to work with the TPA. So I think that says a lot, and it's going to be very tough to narrow it down, but I do hope we have the opportunity to continue to work with all of these in the future. So thank you to all.
Okay, with that, I'm going to have you all to please finalize your selection committee scoring and ranking sheet and submit that via email. And then that we'll go through the next step after I have your scoring sheets and rankings.
So we agree that we don't need to see any presentations, right? We are comfortable with this discussion and scoring and submitting.
I would like to see how the scores come out. And if there are a few that are really close, if there aren't two that just really rise to the top, then I would like to at least have the opportunity to consider if we want to do presentations of the short list. But I'd like to see how the scores end up first before we make that decision.
Sure.
That would be all my right. Input.
Yeah, that sounds good. Hey, Margie.
Yes, sir.
you want all of our notes on this right now, correct?
Yes. So the idea is that you submit your scores and then discuss, and that includes your notes. And then we can discuss whether to finalize as is or if you guys want to do presentations. But you should be filling out the individuals. Oh, hold on, let me pull up the sheet. I'm sorry. So you should be filling out the individual scores and adding your notes. And then signing, dating, and submitting. It should ask you to save it to your computer. You can just save it to your desktop if you'd like.
Okay. Thank you.
And I know this is going to take a few minutes, so if you want to mute while you do that, that's fine. I'll be here if you have questions.
Yeah.
And then I will note that once you guys submit your responses to me, you can go ahead and take a break because it will take me a minute to tabulate everything. So it would be a good time for you to take a short break.
Okay.
Hey Margie, I'm going to connect from a different device because my this device is out of battery. So I'm okay. Going to log off, but I will be in. So please let me in.
Okay. If you're using the link I provided, it should let you in. If not, I'll just promote you from an attendee.
Oh, no problem. I'll just use the link.
Okay.
But I'm going to switch off just for a couple minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
Good day.
Okay, just to let you know, I'm back.
Okay, I'm glad you got reconnected. When, just to confirm, I did receive your email submittal, so that one came through. I'm not sure if anyone else has submitted, if you're still tabulating, but if you did submit it, just let me know so I can confirm I received it.
Okay, thank you.
I'm still adding my comments, Margie.
By the way, Margie, I think you guys did a really good job with your score sheet. I was really impressed. I sent it to my procurement office also.
Oh, thank you. If you'd like the Excel with the formulas, let us know, and we can send that over as well.
Yeah, if you have it in Excel, if you don't mind sharing it, it'll be really helpful because, you know, again, you guys did a better job at it.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'll have Matthew send it over to you.
Margie, I'm done. I'm just trying to, instead of just like inserting my signature, I'm trying to, it's not picking up my configured signature. So I'm trying to find the file and do that to sign it.
Okay.
Okay, I just sent it.
I received it. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to step away for a second. I'll be back.
Margie, I completed mine, and mine is saved in the folder that has the submittals. Would you like me to also email it?
Yes, it needs to be submitted, so we have a timestamp that shows when it was submitted, please.
Okay. I'm sorry, Margie, are we emailing this to TPA Finance or to you?
So at the bottom of the document, the PDF we provided, there's a submit button. If you click the submit button, it'll pre-populate an email for you and you can hit send.
Margie, I clicked submit. Thank you. And it gave me two choices, default email application or use webmail, which was checked.
Do default, and it should open in Outlook. If it doesn't,
okay, and that's sending
it
to TPA Finance. Okay, perfect.
Correct.
There. Okay, I just sent it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, I actually put the same scores across the board for
Melissa, we're not going to discuss the scoring yet until I have them all on the screen. So just submit, and then you can take a quick break while I tabulate the scores. It'll probably be another few minutes or so.
Sure.
Hey, Margie, I got an original error when I sent it, but let me know if it doesn't send.
It would be helpful if I unmuted before I started talking. Okay. I received it. So just give me a couple more minutes to make sure the scores are importing correctly, and then we can review it. Thank you. We're almost ready to go. I'm just doing one final check with another staff member to make sure that everything imported correctly and we're showing the right scores.
Marge, I have a clarifying question before you show it too.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Yes.
And just to clarify again, I think I already said it. We don't care about our individual scores. It's more the ranking, correct? Because we all score differently.
Correct. I just want to, let me read my script here. So I want to make sure I give you the right. Right, so I'm going to show the rankings and then you can just double check that I put the rankings in properly.
Okay.
And that way, if you don't see, if there's no errors, then we'll go through and you guys can tell me what your next steps will be based on the rankings and some other, more information. Okay. But it's more based on your rankings versus the individual scores. But if you see an error in anything that you entered, you do need to let me know because we confirmed that the data we got from you was imported properly into the spreadsheet. Okay, if you guys are all ready. Valerie, are you back yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Just had my...
I just want to make sure you didn't step away again. Okay, so I hope you can all see my screen. I'm on a laptop, so it may look a little bit different. But I do have the rankings listed. So it looks like Kittleson and Associates is ranked as number one. Kimley Horn and Associates as number two. The Corradino Group as number three, Santec Consulting Services as number four, Wattman Group as number five, and Cavan Corradino and Associates as number six. Do all of your rankings look correct? If you just can review them against what you submitted just to make sure
I have that all. I see, are you getting feedback?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm okay with, my score, but Melissa is there, something's off there. There's like two number ones.
She has two ones.
Those were tied. It just indicates a tie, so there's not a number two.
I don't know if you can do that from a weighting perspective.
Yeah, because it calculates all the scores, just like the average score of everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like, here's the thing. Here's the reason why I'm pointing that out. Because if you look at, depending on who's number two, it's actually going to affect the number two and the number three and the overall rank. Am I wrong?
Yeah, maybe.
So I would suggest that we discuss if we can have two ones or if we need to revisit it.
Mine looks accurate.
Are there any other issues? Andrew, does yours look accurate?
Yeah, mine's fine. Yep.
So So if we give them both a 1.5, it won't change the outcome. Just looking at this. And if it's the committee's general consensus that if you don't want anyone to submit tie scores, then we can ask Melissa to change her scores to break her own tie. It would be the consensus of the committee, what they would like to do with that.
So let me ask the question again from a third party. You're selecting top two, top three? What is,
We're selecting two GPCs for this 3-year contract with option to extend. Two GPC teams. So okay. The top two.
So I would say if it's the, changing the score would not affect the top two score, right?
Correct.
It would affect the third and the fourth.
Yeah.
So, in this scenario, I would recommend not changing it, just because if we're selecting three out of three firms, then we would have to take a look at it.
Yeah.
Closely.
Yeah.
I guess I would wonder if Melissa's score of if she would have changed those to one and two, does that get too close to a second and third ranking or not? Maybe
you're
not.
Wondering, for example, if Kittleson were to turn into a two, her one, then what that would happen? It seems.
Do it the other way around.
You want it for Santec?
Yeah, I guess that wouldn't do too much then.
No, I don't think so. Not because the how close it is, it's between the three and four. Even if you change Kittleson's ranking, they're still a point and a half away from, the third ranked firm. So I'm okay with it. I don't know what you guys think. I'm okay with it being like that.
I'm okay with it. And like you said, Wen, if there was three, but there's a whole point different, more than a point difference between two and three. So it seems like we have two clear top choices and a close tie between the third choice.
Yeah.
So I would be okay with, I think we could move forward with the top two. I don't necessarily think we need options, but I don't know what the rest of the group thinks.
And maybe this will help with the decision, but based on the submitted evaluations and rankings, is the selection committee prepared to one, make a final ranking and recommendation of two finalists now, or make a short list of respondents to invite for oral presentations? The committee may also reject all proposals at this time.
I think number one that I would recommend to move forward with the top two.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on that just because of the difference in scoring itself. Because I think that, again, if it's close, right? If all the score is close, then I would say, yes, I'd like to see a presentation. But ultimately, you're talking about a point difference between Kim Lee Horn and the Cordino group.
Yeah.
So I would concur, and I agree that if I'm in your situation right now, I would the differences in points is enough for me to make a decision.
Kim. Margie, do you need like a motion by anybody, or is this?
Well, I didn't know if you or Melissa would like to provide input.
I feel the same way. about those, you know, the 1 point difference, based on having the, you know, four people scoring, this is the way it panned out. So I think, you know, because the difference is over 1 point, or is at 1 point, there is enough variation in that to not have to go forward with a short list for presentations.
Right, I agree. Oops, am I muted?
No, I
know you're
okay,
hear you.
Thank you. Yes, I would agree. And also, just to, on the face of it, it looks like my scoring is way off compared to others. But again, I was trying to focus, keeping everything pretty equal on the planning and prioritizing projects and the categories I'm less familiar with, less qualified to influence. And my focus was primarily on the public engagement and so forth. So that's why my scoring may seem way off when you look at in this form. But I agree, we've got two that are considerably higher than the others, but I was very impressed with all of them.
I don't know if I can ask a question to Wen. Maybe this is not needed for this discussion or not, but I did notice that you had Corandino as your number two, and then Kimberly Horn as your number three.
I guess I could tell you that the score sheet itself is actually very close. I'm talking about by maybe a couple points to me. And again, you know, I took a lot of consideration into, first I didn't know how many teams we were selecting. So it didn't have an impact on how I was scoring, until today, you know, but I do believe that, when I look into, the tech memo or the technical write-up of the proposal, I was actually very impressed by, for a team that does not have a lot of experience with an MPO or TPA, they brought in a little bit of a uniqueness to the proposal by from a different aspect, right? Because I do think that it's when you have a lot of experience, it's easy to write a proposal. It's easy to put together a proposal. But when I look at the Corradino, I think it's, one, it's very well written. Two, it's like, from a technical feasibility standpoint. And when I read reports and I say it flows well, it's transparent. They put a lot of effort into it. And I think when I think about things like that, I think of like, if a firm is willing to put this much effort into preparing this proposal, I think they can only benefit catering to what you need. And so, because a lot of time when you have a big firm with really great marketing, you know, you can see that, oh, it's very well put together. All the graphics is really beautiful. You know, you can tell that this proposal is actually being put together by the project manager. You know, and there's not a marketing team behind them with support. In contrast, I would say that, for example, when I looked at the Stantec proposal, that the majority of the write-up, like the introduction of the firm, that's all marketing materials that was prepared before. You know, I would, and that's where a lot of my I would say my take on it, just because. I'd like to see what level of effort that someone would put in would impact what level of effort that they'll put in as for me as a client. So that would be my rationale, but it's by no means that the ranking, has a huge difference in the scoring. And I can tell you a lot of these scorings are very similar where, you know, I believe it's only off by a couple points.
Thanks.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, according to the selection committee's determination that no additional oral presentations are required, the selection committee has elected to rank the proposals as follows. And I'm going to go in order of 1 to 6 based on the summary I'm showing on the screen. So number one is Kimberly Horn. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm trying to read the initials. Number one is Kittleson and Associates. Number two is Kimley Horn and Associates. Number three is the Corradino Group. Number four is Santec Consulting. Number five is Wantman Group. And number six is Calvin Guardano and Associates. A notice of intent to award contracts to the respondents with the two highest ranked proposals will be posted on August 17th, 2020 on palmbeachtpa.org. As a reminder, please do not discuss these proposals outside this meeting until the recommended award has been posted to the TPA website. And with that, I believe we are going to conclude our meeting. Thank you all for participating and for your help in this selection committee. We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.